A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists, in their own words, on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 9. Scientist number 45. Quote, "At the very least, MBH is a very sloppy piece of work." Closed quote. Professor Tom Wigley, Ph.D. Dora Fellow in Ecology and Environmental Science at the University of Adelaide. Fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Former director of the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. And senior scientist at the U.S. National Center for Atmospheric Research. IPCC contributing author. Mark. Professor Wigley was hired by Hubert Lam, founder of the Climatic Research Unit, to be his successor. One would like to think he had some misgivings at the way the CRU were co-opted by Mann to trash Dr. Lam's legacy. He certainly had concerns about tremometers and other proxy data. In 1996, long before anyone had heard of Mann or his hockey stick, Professor Wigley wrote to colleagues, including hockey stick co-authors-to-be, Raymond Bradley and Malcolm Hughes, to raise certain issues. Quote, "How useful are paleo data? I support the continued collection of such data, but I am disturbed by how some people in the paleo community try to oversell their product." Closed quote. He then identified a number of proxy data issues, including the reliability of tree rings, ice cores, sedimentary records, seasonal specificity, and signal-to-noise. For example, quote, "A. Sedimentary records, dating, are 14C dated records of any value at all? B. Seasonal specificity, how useful is a proxy record that tells us about a single season or only part of the year? E. Frequency dependence of explained variance. The classic example here is tree rings, where it is exceedingly difficult to get out a credible low frequency, 50 plus year timescale message." Closed quote. Mark. Professor Wigley could not have foreseen that the paleo product would be so oversold that it would swallow climate science whole. When McIntyre and McKittrick itemized specific problems with Mann's work of the kind he had raised more generally back in 1996, Wigley was sympathetic, if only in private. On October 21, 2004, he emailed his own successor as head of the CRU, Phil Jones. Quote, "Phil, I have just read the M&M stuff criticizing MBH. A lot of it seems valid to me. At the very least, MBH is a very sloppy piece of work, an opinion I've held for some time. Presumably, what you have done with Keith is better? Or is it? I get asked about this a lot. Can you give me a brief heads up? Mike is too deep into this to be helpful. Tom." Close quote. Scientist number 46. Quote, "Is this true? If so, it constitutes a devastating criticism." Closed quote. Dr. Jonathan Overpeck, Ph.D., Director of the Environmental Studies Laboratory at the University of Arizona's Department of Geosciences, formerly with the University of Colorado in a similar capacity, and with Columbia University and the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Mark. Tom Wigley was not the only colleague of Mann alarmed by McIntyre and McKittrick's critique of the hockey stick. On January 4, 2005, Dr. Overpeck emailed Keith Briffa. Quote, "The primary criticism of McIntyre and McKittrick, which has gotten a lot of play on the internet, is that Mann et al. Transformed each tree ring prior to calculating PCs by subtracting the 1902 to 1980 mean, rather than using the length of the full time series, example 1400 to 1980, as is generally done. M&M claimed that when they used that procedure with a red noise spectrum, it always resulted in a, quote-unquote, hockey stick. Is this true? If so, it constitutes a devastating criticism of the approach. Closed quote. Mark. It is, indeed, a devastating criticism. But the concern expressed in private by Dr. Overpeck is in striking contrast to his public statements. For example, 3 weeks after the above email, January 24, 2005, he gave an interview to Michelle Nehus at the High Country News. Quote, Overpeck says paleoclimatologists around the world are working to create a new icon, one based on more tree rings and other proxies. Still, he expects the principal findings of the hockey stick to endure. The real truth won't look exactly like the hockey stick, but the hockey stick got us so close, he says. It brought us so much further towards reality than any other study. Close quote. Later that year, Dr. Overpeck gave the prestigious Bezhunik Lecture at the American Geophysical Union's fall meeting. He concluded his presentation with a jocular throwaway. Quote, you didn't really believe what I said, did you? Close quote. Actually, it's an interesting question. Even among the most loyal members of the hockey team, there were huge misgivings in private, yet ever more bluster in public. If this were simply one graph, one paper, then devastating criticism would be bad news for man. But no one else. As Dr. Kevin Vranes wrote on November 18, 2005, quote, the HS debate is about the credibility of Drs. Mann/Bradley/Hughes, but mostly Dr. Mann. Closed quote. But Mann had bet otherwise. It's the Cli-Sci version of the old debt joke. If you owe the bank $1,000, you have a problem. If you owe the bank $1,000,000, they have a problem. If you owe your credibility to one damaged paper in a scientific journal, you have a problem. If you owe your credibility to your paper's enthusiastic support from Sir John Houghton, Al Gore, the IPCC, Western governments, and the rest of the transnational climate change establishment, then they have a problem. And so they decided instead that the stick had to be defended. Scientist number 47, quote, I say to Dr. Mann, your job is not to prevent your critics from checking your work. Close quote. Dr. Kevin Vranes, Ph.D., Ph.D. in Ocean and Climate Physics from Columbia University. Mark. By 2005, Mann's reaction to routine queries was beginning to strike even supporters of the AGW hypothesis as odd. On February 18th that year, 4 days after a Wall Street Journal article on the hockey stick by Antonio Rigaldo, Dr. Vranes considered the matter at the Science and Technology website of the University of Colorado at Boulder. Quote, the Wall Street Journal is still asking and trying to answer the basic questions, hockey stick or no hockey stick? But the background premise of the article, stated explicitly and implicitly throughout, is that it was the hockey stick that led to Kyoto and other climate policy. Is it? Close quote. Mark. Dr. Vranes thought the notion that Kyoto is based on the Mann curve is utter nonsense, although Stephen McIntyre and citizens of other Western nations where the stick played a big part in Kyoto promoting might beg to differ. However, Vranes conceded that if policymakers are indeed relying solely on the Mann curve to prove definitively the existence of anthropogenic warming, then we're in deeper trouble than anybody realizes. Quote, but maybe we are in that much trouble. The Wall Street Journal highlights what Rigaldo and McIntyre says is Mann's resistance or outright refusal to provide to inquiring minds his data, all details of his statistical analysis, and his code. The Wall Street Journal's anecdotal treatment of the subject goes towards confirming what I've been hearing for years in climatology circles about not just Mann, but others collecting original climate data." Close quote. Dr. Vranes agrees that there are problems with, quote unquote, peer review. Quote, "For that matter, why does Table 1 in Mann et al., 1999, list many chronologies in the Southern Hemisphere, while the rest of the paper promotes a Northern Hemisphere reconstruction? Legit or not, it's a confusing aspect of the paper that should never have made it past peer review." So this is what I say to Dr. Mann. Give up your data, methods, and code freely and with a smile on your face. That is real peer review. A 12-year-old hacker prodigy in her grandparents' basement should have as a much opportunity to check your work as a quote-unquote semi-retired Toronto minerals consultant. Those without three letters after their name can be every bit as intellectually qualified and will likely have the time for careful review that typical academic reviewers find lacking. Specious analysis of your work will be borne out by your colleagues and will enter the debate with every other original work. Your job is not to prevent your critics from checking your work and potentially distorting it. Your job is to continue to publish insightful, detailed analysis of the data and let the community decide. You can be part of the debate without seeming to hinder access to it. Closed quote. Scientist number 48, quote, "I am not forced to assume good faith of criminals and the people who don't follow the rules of scientific integrity." Close quote. Dr. Lubas Motl, Ph.D., theoretical physicist and string theorist who, while still an undergraduate at a Czech university with no specialist in the subject, scooped Rutgers string expert Professor Tom Banks with a paper on matrix string theory. Author of L'Equation Bogdanov, Le Secret de l'Origine de l'Universe, and of peer-reviewed papers published in the Journal of High Energy Physics, Advances in Theoretical and Mathematical Physics, and other journals. Former assistant professor at Harvard University. Mark, not everyone was as restrained as Dr. Vranes, but in a glimpse of the hockey team's reach over at Wikipedia, the authoritative internet encyclopedia, William N. Connolly, a UK Green Party activist, appointed himself guardian of the stick when it came to vacuuming criticism and chastising dissidents. In February 2005, in a backstage discussion re how to characterize the hockey stick, Dr. Model was blunt. Quote, "This article needs attention. The discredited theories of hockey stick created by the hockey team should be rewritten as historical discussion of the myths that were believed at various points." Close quote. Mr. Connolly responded, quote, "Thank you for making your biases so obvious." Close quote. Dr. Model replied, quote, "You may call it biases, but the more important thing is that it is reality. What the hockey team has done is very serious. I am not forced to assume good faith of criminals and the people who don't follow the rules of scientific integrity." Closed quote. Nor would he. Even before ClimateGate, Dr. Model had delivered a brutal assessment of Mann's 2008 version of his hockey stick. Quote, "It seems that the paper is not only a case of subprime science, but an example of scientific fraud." Close quote. Dr. Model noted that for his 2008 stick, Mann had used 55 data sets that showed an upward sweep in the late 20th century, but rejected another 64 data sets that showed a downward curve in the late 20th century. Quote, "Wow, it's just amazing. The numbers 55 and 64 are pretty large. Don't tell me that you will get these two qualitatively different curves by averaging random subsets of the data sets. The quote-unquote convenient data sets were clearly chosen by hand, while the quote-unquote inconvenient ones were manually thrown away. If this is not fraud, what is?" Close quote. After ClimateGate, Mann threatened to sue a Minnesota website over a satirical Hide the Decline music video. Dr. Model responded by linking to a Czech version and reminded the litigious hockey sticker. Quote, "We have the freedom of speech in Czechia, especially when it comes to nasty gangsters of man's caliber." Close quote. Scientist number 49. Quote, "Is the PCA approach robust? Are the results statistically significant? It seems to me that in the case of MBH, the answer in each is no." Close quote. Dr. John Mitchell, OBE, FRS, PhD. Chief Scientist at the United Kingdom Met Office, Chair of the Working Group on Climate Modeling of the World Meteorological Organization's Joint Scientific Committee on Climate Variability, Officer of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire and Fellow of the Royal Society, recipient of the Hans Oeschger Medal from the European Geosciences Union and the Norbert Gerbier Mum Prize from the World Meteorological Organization. Mark. Dr. Mitchell is said to be the most cited scientist in the world on the subject of global warming. In June 2006, he emailed Jonathan Overpeck, Eystein Jansen, Keith Briffa, and Tim Osborne regarding questions that need to be addressed about the hockey stick. Quote, "I am in Geneva at the WMOEC meeting, so I have not had a lot of time to look at the SOD comments. I cannot get to Bergen before Tuesday. I had a quick look at the comments on the hockey stick and include below the questions I think need to be addressed, which I hope will help the discussions. I do believe we need a clear answer to the skeptics." Close quote. These were the questions Professor Mitchell wanted addressed. Quote, "There needs to be a clear statement of why the instrumental and proxy data are shown on the same graph. The issue of why we don't show the proxy data for the last few decades, they don't show continued warming, but assume that they are valid for early warm periods, needs to be explained." 2. "There are a number of methodological issues that need a clear response. There are two aspects to this. First, in relation to the TAR and MBA," presumably he means MBH here, "which seems to be the obsession of certain reviewers. Secondly, and this I believe this is the main priority for us, in relation to conclusions we make in the chapter, we should make it clear where our comments apply to only MBH, if that is appropriate, and where they apply to the overall findings of the chapter. Our response should consider all the issues for both MBH and the overall chapter conclusions." A. The role of bristlecone pine data. Is it reliable? Is it necessary to include this data to arrive at the conclusion that recent warmth is unprecedented? B. Is the PCA approach robust? Are the results statistically significant? It seems to me that in the case of MBH, the answer in each is no. It is not clear how robust and significant the more recent approaches are. Close quote. Mark. If only Dr. Mitchell and his colleagues had thought to share some of these uncertainties about the hockey stick with the public. But as one CRU scientist would later concede, when it came to Mann, they were not especially honest, quote unquote. Scientist number 50, quote, "Did Mann et al. Get it wrong?" Yes, Mann et al. Got it wrong. Close quote. Professor Simon Tett, PhD, Chair of Earth System Dynamics and Modeling at the University of Edinburgh's School of Geosciences, Head of the Global Change Research Institute, formerly with the Met Office's Hadley Center, where he worked on mechanisms of climate variability, recipient of the Norbert Gerbier Prize from the World Meteorological Organization and the L.G. Groves Prize for Meteorology, contributor to the IPCC and Marjorie Lecturer to the Royal Meteorological Society, principal investigator for the National Center for Atmospheric Science. Mark, The most disturbing aspect of ClimateGate was the revelation that the big climate establishment largely shared the quote-unquote denier's view of man's appalling science. But they kept it to themselves. On October 18, 2004, Dr. David Warlow, head of science policy on climate change at Britain's Department of the Environment, Food, and Rural Affairs, emailed Professor Tett, then with the Met Office, to raise his concerns about McIntyre-McKittrick's critique of the hockey stick. Quote, "It is therefore important to know whether A, Mann et al. Got it wrong, and B, M&M are right, and C, how unusual is the last 50 years in the longer-term context? I suspect the truth is in between somewhere." Closed quote. That afternoon, Professor Tett emailed back. Quote, "I think there are issues in Mann et al.'s approach. Recall the Esper et al. Paper, which produced a reconstruction with lots more low-frequency variability than others. Mann's reconstruction had the least variability of any of the reconstructions. In answer to your specific questions, A, did Mann et al. Get it wrong? Yes. Mann et al. Got it wrong. How wrong is still under debate. B, are M&M right? M&M may be right. However, I think it unlikely that the medieval warm period is as warm as today. Their criticisms seem to be extremely technical. C, how unusual is the last 50 years? I think it's still likely to be the warmest period on record, CB. But the rate of warming may not be highly unusual. I agree that one of the important claims in the TAR looks like not being correct. This result could be spun to cast doubt on worries about anthropogenic climate change as the evidence that the 20th century is unusual becomes less clear-cut. Simon." Close quote. Dr. Tett has always been consistent. Way back in 2001, while checking a paper for revisions, he wrote of Mann's then new hockey stick. Quote, "No justification for regional reconstructions rather than what Mann et al. Did. I don't think we can say we didn't do Mann et al. Because we think it is crap!" Exclamation point. Closed quote. Mark. If only he and Dr. Warlow had seen fit to share their expert assessment with the uncredentialed plebs 15 years ago. But then the result could be spun to cast doubts on worries about anthropogenic climate change. By spun, Dr. Tett appears to mean using the actual evidence to reach an objective conclusion. Chapter 6. Mansplaining. The Clime Syndicate. Quote, "I simply can't believe that there is a kind of mafia that is trying to inhibit critical papers from being published." Dr. Mojib Latif, Ph.D., interview with the Wall Street Journal, November 23, 2009. Mark. If Mann and the hockey team's behavior was bad, in a scientific sense, before McIntyre and McKittrick came along, it got worse, in a far more basic sense, after the two Canadians began asking questions, as the leak of the ClimateGate emails in November 2009 made clear. Dr. Latif was one of many scientists stunned by the glimpse behind the climate curtain, and he's no denier. As he once told National Public Radio, "If my name was not Mojib Latif, my name would be Global Warming." Nonetheless, he was shocked by what the ClimateGate emails disclosed about some of the leading figures in climate science. On November 23rd, the Wall Street Journal reported, quote, "Mojib Latif, a climate researcher at Germany's Leibniz Institute of Marine Sciences, said he found it hard to believe that climate scientists were trying to squelch dissent." Closed quote. Whether or not Dr. Latif could believe it, it was certainly happening. It had been known for years that Mann took the view that his graphs were like, say, the Coca-Cola or Kentucky Fried Chicken formula. Your job is to swallow it, not figure out how it's made. This is, in itself, discreditable, and very different from other scientific areas. For example, Richard Smith, editor of the British Medical Journal from 1991 to 2004, quote, "It is a condition of submitting a study to the BMJ that if we ask to see the original data, you have to produce it. And if you can't, then I'm afraid the assumption is that probably this was invented." Close quote. Nature, one of the most prestigious scientific journals on the planet, is evidently less picky. And man was not any old scientist, but a paleoclimatologist, which is, at least as he practices it, essentially an exercise in data processing. It's not about finding a tree or a borehole and measuring it, but about the statistical treatment of those trees and boreholes. The gulf between the observations and the results is so vast that it can only be judged if you have access to both the data and man's secret formula for whisking it together, which is exactly what the hockey team attempted to obstruct. As Professor Jonathan Jones wrote of man's closest ally, quote, "You can't spend long digging around the hockey stick without stumbling across other areas of climate science pathology. The next one that really struck me was the famous Phil Jones quote, 'Why should I make the data available to you when your aim is to try and find something wrong with it?' To any practicing scientist, that's a huge red flag. Sure, we all feel a bit like that on occasion, but to actually say something like that in an email is practically equivalent to getting up on a public platform and saying, 'I'm a pathological scientist and I'm proud.'" Close quote. Jonathan Jones charitably assumed Phil Jones, man's close colleague, was just having a bad day. Au contraire, it was standard operating procedure. If you can get away with something so unscientific, why would you leave it at that? The ClimateGate conspiracies advanced smoothly from the unscientific to the unethical to the unlawful. Phil Jones to Michael Mann on February 3, 2005. Quote, "The two MMs, McIntyre and McKittrick, have been after the CRU station data for years. If they ever hear there is a Freedom of Information Act now in the UK, I think I'll delete the file rather than send to anyone." Close quote. And indeed, the CRU subsequently announced that they had inadvertently deleted, quote-unquote, the requested data. The settled scientist also acknowledged that the skeptics were right on another point. At exactly the moment man's hockey stick proclaimed the hottest year ever, global warming stopped. Jones again, quote, "The scientific community would come down on me in no uncertain terms if I said the world had cooled from 1998. Okay, it has. But it is only 7 years of data, and it isn't statistically significant." Closed quote. Mark. Yet perhaps the most important revelation was not the collusion, the bullying, the politicization, and the evidence planting, but the fact that even if you wanted to do honest climate research at the Climatic Research Unit, the data and the models are now so diseased by the above that they're all but useless. Phil Jones and Michael Mann are two of the most influential figures in the climate change establishment. What these documents reveal is the greatest scientific scandal of our times, and a tragedy. It's not just their graphs, but their battle lines that are drawn all wrong.